Welcome back to LSHTM Viral. I'm Naomi Stewart from the Lennon School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. One story that has captured the headlines for almost a month is the Diamond Princess cruise ship. The ship docked in Yokohama, Japan in early February after a man who disembarked in Hong Kong in January was found to have COVID-19. Over 3,700 passengers were put under quarantine, and infections eventually rose from just 10 cases to over 621 people, with six of the passengers having since died, including the first British person to have died from COVID-19, who passed away just last Friday. Today we are speaking to Annelise Wilder-Smith, who is a professor of emerging infectious disease here at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. Annelise's research focuses on travel health, vaccine-preventable, and emerging infectious diseases. Thank you for joining us today, Annelise. So last week, you were part of a team that published research examining the quarantining of passengers aboard the Diamond Princess cruise ship. Can you walk us through the paper and tell us about what you found?
So cruise ship Princess Diamond, which was quite close to the epicenter in China, end of January had 3,700 passengers on board. That included 1,000 crew. And so what happened was that there was one index case, a Hong Kong man, who was later diagnosed with the novel coronavirus. So he was on board, he had symptoms, he disembarked on the 25th of January. And then by the 3rd of February, it was noted that there were 10 cases with a respiratory illness, and they were tested for coronavirus, and they were found to be positive. So now the decision was made to quarantine all the passengers and the crew and to remove those 10 passengers with confirmed COVID infection and isolate them in a Japanese hospital. But then unfortunately, what was found that then increasingly higher numbers of infected passengers and crew were found, and by the 19th of February, there were about 600 positive cases. With if nothing had been done, no isolation, no quarantine, just based on this exponential growth of this virus, we would have seen more than 2,000 infected passengers. Now, with these quarantine measures, we found still 600 had been infected. So the measures did work in some way, but not in others. And we calculated that if the evacuation of the ship had occurred much earlier on, we would have had probably only about 75 cases.
In the conclusions of the paper, your sort of main idea was that it should have been an early evacuation. And what would have happened to those passengers? How would they have diagnosed them once they left the ship? What would that scenario have looked like?
So if the evacuation had been very early on, as soon as we knew there were 10 confirmed cases, then at that time we would have estimated about 75 passengers already infected, but still in their incubation time, so asymptomatic. And if we had then evacuated earlier, those infected patients would not, or passengers would not have infected others. A second scenario, what could have been done, was a much more stringent quarantine. Now, obviously, you know, the cruise ship crew nor the authorities were, you know, totally trained in how to implement swiftly, rapidly, a very stringent, very effective quarantine. And the problem was, obviously, that the crew still had to function, but some of the crew were also infected.
And what sort of factors would the Japanese government have considered when they were making this decision to put the ship into lockdown?
So I think the decision that drove the lockdown or the quarantine of this cruise ship was also to protect the population. So if you evacuate all the passengers, you have to evacuate them one by one. Logistically, that's very difficult on a cruise ship with 3,700 persons on board. So evacuate them one by one, and then would have needed to be quarantined elsewhere. Logistically quite difficult to set up quarantine facilities for those people, or even send them back to their home countries. So I think the decision at the time was probably a right decision, but they didn't factor in how transmissible this pathogen is, nor did they factor in how stringent the quarantine would have needed to be done. So, for example, during quarantine, understandably, for mental health issues, etc., they let the passengers go out for 1 hour per day, which may also have been not stringent enough. And the crew members who were still serving were also still bunking together, so also infecting each other. So basically, a very stringent quarantine of all the crew and all the passengers would have needed to be done, which is logistically extremely challenging. So Japan had a challenging situation at their hand, and we cannot blame them. This is now what happened. We've learned our lesson. The lesson is, yes, you do evacuate earlier.
And in other cases, like the Costa Deje Palace Hotel in Tenerife, so they quarantined about 1,000 people when several of their guests tested positive for COVID-19 in recent weeks. How does that compare with the example of the cruise ship, a large hotel?
It doesn't matter where you quarantine, be it on a cruise ship or in a hotel or elsewhere. It has to be absolutely stringent. That means no contact time to anyone else. So in a hotel, like now it's happening in Tenerife, if you do decide for quarantine, these hotel guests have to stay in their room and cannot mingle. They cannot go out for a little lunch or a coffee. So the food has to be brought to their hotel room, left in front of the hotel room, and then the guest opens the door, takes out the food. There should not be any contact time whatsoever with anyone.
And how difficult is that to enforce? Because we have seen pictures of hotel guests still swimming in the pool and sunbathing. So how can you actually get people to stay in their rooms if that's what's required?
It has to be enforced. So if hotel guests still mingle, that is, they're putting themselves at risk, and the authorities must enforce it. So just to let you know, during the SARS epidemic in Singapore, where I lived at the time, quarantine was legally enforced. If you broke quarantine, that means if you left your house, your home, or a hotel room, you were actually legally penalized. So it was enforced. And I think we still do not have the mindset here in Europe how strict we have to be with the quarantine. There should be no contact time with anyone at all. So the only compromise that we did, and we did also during SARS, is the compromise that sometimes the household people are still together. But even then, you know, within a household where family is still sharing the same facilities, we would recommend that you keep apart as much as possible. But that's the only compromise, and that is also not the best compromise.
These questions of quarantine and lockdown are difficult public health decisions for any city officials or government. Given what we know now after a couple months of COVID-19, are there any guiding principles to be followed? And what can we learn from these for policies going forward?
So I think now with a decline in numbers that we see in China, we know that China strategy was successful. So we really need to learn from what China did. And China implemented draconic measures that may sound extreme to many other countries, but it did it right and they were successful. So I think we need a change in mindset, that we need to be prepared to have to implement much more draconic measures than we've probably ever seen in Europe. So it means if we do quarantine, we must do it right. If we do isolation, we need to detect cases early. We need to go out all our way to detect cases early and to implement quarantine and to implement social distancing. I think the community, the society in Europe is not yet totally fully aware of the draconic measures needed to be implemented. And we listen and we need to listen to China. WHO just published their report from their China visit, and they also highlighted the effective measures that were done in China that have now led to this massive decline, a consistent daily decline in cases, and there are now far fewer new cases in China, in Wuhan, compared to Italy, South Korea, and Iran and other countries. So I think we need to be swift and decisive with a top-down approach, strong leadership, political will, that we need to do something quite in an extreme way. So we either decide we go for full containment and we do it right, or we decide, or we have to live with the fact that this outbreak will just continue to go on.
So what would these measures look like in Europe or other countries that China has undertaken?
So the measures need to be tailored based on the current epidemiological situation. So for countries where there are no cases, they need to make sure that no cases are imported, but already start background surveillance to identify early cases. For countries that already have sporadic cases or clusters, the most important immediate action is prompt isolation of all possible cases, suspect cases or confirmed cases, and prompt and rigorous and a wide casting of contact tracing, and then quarantining those contacts of those cases. For countries that already have widespread community transmission, like, for example, Iran and parts now of Italy, they need to really learn from the China model, and that means implementing community quarantine. Once you have widespread community transmission, you cannot identify all contacts. That means so the community of that area needs to be under quarantine, as, for example, now these towns and villages in northern Italy, and they need to be in quarantine for up to 14 days.
And what's your perspective on how ready the rest of the world is and how prepared we are to deal with a wider outbreak?
We have all been aware, we've all been warned, we've had at least 4 weeks of, more than 4 weeks of lead time now since the declaration of the public health emergency. But a WHO report just published a few days ago highlights that we are not totally ready in capacity, but I think also in the mindset, in the willingness to implement quite draconic measures, which include community quarantine if needed. This will have a major socio-economic disruption and a socio-economic effect, but we all believe that the cost of this is still far lower than the long-term cost of non-containment. So are we ready? I think we are prepared. We know what to do. We've all learned about isolation and quarantine and what community quarantine means. We now need the leadership, the political will to implement those.
And at the individual level, what can people be doing to prepare for these sort of measures to be taken?
At an individual level, if you've been and traveled to high-risk areas, which for most Europeans now would be Italy. So the high-risk areas really is now for Europeans within Italy, or traveled to South Korea. So for persons who have traveled, my advice would be do not go to work, do social distancing, stay at home. And that really should be done by everyone. And then for those who do have developed symptoms, be it a cough, or respiratory symptoms or fever, they should call a designated center and they should be tested for COVID-19. And also those people, I think, as soon as you have symptoms, you should wear a face mask, you should warn others, and you should really not be in contact with everyone, including your own family members.
If you could give us all one take-home message about COVID-19, what would that be?
My take-home message is, for a disease that is spread in a community, we need a community response.
Great. Thank you, Annalise.
All right. Thank you.
That was Professor Annalise Welder-Smith speaking to us from Switzerland about the quarantining of the Diamond Princess cruise ship. As we mentioned last time, we'll be hosting a special episode of LSHTM Viral Live. I'm here with Amy Thomas, who's going to tell us a little bit more about that.
Hi, Naomi. Thanks. I'm super excited to be hosting this week's special live Q&A session that will be streaming on our YouTube channel, LSHTM YouTube channel. And in the studio, we will have Jimmy Whitworth and Roz Ego, both leading experts in coronavirus, and we're giving you the opportunity to tune in with your questions and ask us in real time. If you don't follow us on social media already, make sure you do so that you can get the link straight to you when it becomes available. It's happening at 12:30 on Thursday, the 5th of March, so make sure you get it in the diary and get involved.
Thanks, Amy. Very much looking forward to that episode. And thank you all for listening to LSHTM Viral. Subscribe now on your favorite player and rate us on Apple Podcasts.